This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Hey, it's Mraz. It's the best of the DA show on this Thursday. That's right. We kick it off with no-go on college football expansion for the playoff. Why is that? Your best audio of the day, including Boogie Cousins on what set him back in his career the last couple years. We also have a ranch revolution. Yes, all of that and more. It's the best of the DA show now.
Yesterday, the power brokers of college football decided to get together and vote once again on playoff expansion. Get together and see if they can get a unanimous vote here on a 12-team playoff. The powers that be, the suits, got together. They had their beverages, glad-handed, rubbed elbows with the academic and athletic elite of college football. And at the end of the day, they came to a conclusion. We don't know. Oh, really? And so now it's tabled again for at least another month. What is going on with the playoff? And will a plan for expansion ever be figured out? It is where we begin. Your cold open.
All the talk, all the different things have been said all year long, whether they're positive or negative. They've been able to block them out and continue to push forward and, you know, find ways to play their best ball at the end of the year.
It feels like the best one, you know. it sure does. Yeah, it really does. And, maybe, you know, get ready for next week's. Maybe next week's will be the best, but that's why it feels like the beginning. But continue to do what we do. We'll move on with humble hearts, and, you know, greatness doesn't fear consequences.
The way these guys sort of overcame adversity in this game and showed great resiliency and the way they performed. And I said that to him in the locker room after the game. You know, this is something you should always remember, that when you put your best foot forward and you fight and you really believe in something and you do it together as a group, what you can accomplish.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Well, those are three of the coaches coaching this weekend. You have Luke Fickell, Cincinnati. Jim Harbaugh at Michigan, Nick Saban, Alabama. That really has nothing to do with an expanded college football playoff. But the powers that be, the suits that joined forces yesterday, could not come to a conclusion. And so why? Well, because there are warring factions in college football that you simply cannot ignore and you cannot run away from and cannot change. You know, you look at the NFL, that's 32 owners, really 31 plus the Packers, but for argument's sake, 32 owners. In Major League Baseball, 30 owners. In the NBA, 30 owners. You can get a consensus built on 30 owners because there's voting blocks, and you go to one guy that's standing in the way and say, okay, I'll vote for your thing next time around. When you need a stadium, we'll do this for you, what have you. And they work in lockstep in tandem. We're seeing this with Major League Baseball's lockout right now. 30 owners can get on the same page relatively easily with not a lot of arguments and fighting and delays. You have 120-plus different football schools just in FBS, and they all have completely different needs. They have completely different sizes. They have completely different budgets, completely different television revenue, completely different scholarship situations. Everything is different in college football. And so what is happening here is the holdup. The Power Five says, well, okay, if we got guarantees, we'll do five Power Five guarantees, one Group of Five guarantee, and then six wild cards, right? We'll do five of the conference winners, one of the Group of Five winner, and then six wild cards. Well, guess who's not down to that plan right now? The Group of Five. Because the Group of Five says, well, you guys got five guaranteed slots in there, and we got one. And the wild cards will likely all be yours as well. So now we've got a model where it's 11 to 1. From an SEC standpoint, Greg Sankey doesn't want anything besides 12 or 4. Why? Well, because right now you've got four wild cards. There's no guaranteed anything that gets in. So Sankey's going, hey, we can get four SEC teams into a college football playoff. We've seen two, but if it broke our way, we can get up to four teams into this playoff. If we go to 12, well, then that gives us six more possible SEC slots, right? You could have six guarantees, one of which is the SEC, and then six wild cards. Could be all the SEC, so that's seven in a conference that will one day have. Let's put LSU in the playoff, and let's say, well, Alabama gets a wild card slot, A&M gets a wild card slot, Oklahoma gets a wild card slot, Georgia gets a wild card slot, Florida gets a wild card slot, Ole Miss gets a wild card slot. That's in play. So the SEC doesn't want a hybrid of a six-team expansion, an eight-team expansion, because that's less potential seat to the table for them. So now you can see you're trying to get Alabama, LSU, and Georgia on the same page as Central Michigan, Boise State, and Appalachian State. It's just virtually impossible. So I find this relatively hysterical. The powers that be get together, and you have all of these college football media types that are like, it's more than likely going to get done. I'd be shocked if it didn't get done. They know what's on the table. They've had so much time to discuss it. This has to get done. It has to get done. It has to get done. And I'm thinking to myself, the odds are it'll never get done. In fact, it was a miracle we even got this far. For any college football fan over the age of, let's just say, 35, even 30, you realize that even getting to the BCS was a near miracle. That we used to just vote on these things. Then we finally got a two-team BCS and nobody was happy. Well, a playoff, even a four-team playoff, is a pretty huge miracle that we got here. If you watched college football in 1996, you know that a playoff seemed like the fairy godmother, tooth fairy, Easter bunny, and Santa rolled into one. It was never going to happen. We got here. So do I think we get expansion? Sure I do. Do I think it takes a long time to get there? Yeah. We've only been doing this for 7 years. We still have another 3 years on this model. My guess is it takes until the end of this contract to get that expansion. But thinking that this thing is going to get solved 3 to 4 years in advance of when you have to, the deadline? No. There's too many warring constituents with too many different priorities. How do you get 120 different college leaders on the same page? I mean, can it work? Can it happen? Again, today, at least the Group of Five felt when they agreed to this, well, there's a chance because it's all basically a beauty pageant. So it's not locking us out. But now they realize we're never getting in, so we have to have expansion. But then that cuts against what the Power Five want. So, like herding cats last night, which is why it didn't get figured out. It will eventually, but I don't think anytime soon. I think we've got the four for the time being. We appreciate you being with us. And today is a very momentous day. because we finally dig back into the crates. We finally get back into the 12 DAs of Christmas. Mraz, I just want, before we get to this one, a thought on culling through all of the audio from the past year. We talked about this maybe a couple of times, that when digging back over the last calendar year, it felt like it was 2 years, because when you go back, really we do Thanksgiving to Thanksgiving instead of Jan 1 to Jan 1, because we have to obviously wrap up the 12 DAs by Christmas. So right now, moments that happen are eligible for the 2022 12 DAs. So basically Thanksgiving to Thanksgiving felt like two different years, because we were at home pandemic for half of it and then came back to the studios in July this year. And so it just feels like so many different weird kooky things happened over 12 months that were completely different on both ends of the spectrum.
I think that's 1,000% accurate. And obviously, we came off the previous year's 12 DAs, where we kind of got used to some kooky moments while working from home. But I think the biggest alarming thing to me, DA, was there were times, I know, when we were working from home where I questioned whether I was pulling a worthy enough candidate for the 12 DAs. And maybe that led to so many that we had, because, as you know, DA, part of the 12 DA charm throughout the year is the camaraderie we have walking out of the studio, laughing about things for a week later, and not having that personal engagement sometimes made me second guess. Maybe this moment wasn't as good as I thought, where if we were in the studio, we would have been cracking up. And then we got to live that again when some of these moments happened throughout the studio. So I didn't know at times when voting, hey, did I view this as way too funny or a way too classic a moment than others did? Because, you know, in many ways, some of them we were in our own environment to kind of get a feel for.
I've always loved this whole exercise and practice, because when you do radio every day and you do 4 hours or 3 hours of radio every day, there's so much that happens at each show. And once it's gone, it's oftentimes just gone. You're just on to the next. And the 12 DAs allows us to reflect on the ridiculous, on the hysterical, on the ingenious, on the stupid, on all of that for 1 month of the year. And so we're going to kick these things off right now. You are lucky because you are listening as we do this. Let us start with the first of the first four out. It's the 12 DAs of Christmas.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. The 12 DAs of Christmas to all, and to all, a good night.
Did he ever tell you why I'm not allowed to food shop?
No.
Because I shop too healthy.
Ostrich eyes! Am I? Oh, no! No! I'm a Yankee fan! People are going to see this! I have family in St. Lucia, but I look like a fraud! I'm going to look like Jim Murray! You don't do this to people!
This boxer, he's putting up a three-level, four-bathroom, three-bedroom place, man.
Why does your chef sound like a jazz singer?
Have you ever owned a goat before?
I have. Was golfing with me one day.
She
and
was
jumped.
Golfing. What was her handicap?
Broken neck.
Got it.
Unbite me! Holy crap, it's hot at the bottom, you fuck!
The time is now!
We go back to January the 20th. We are still working from home at this time. And so the only set of fingers, the only body inside the studio was Pete the Body. And at this time, we had had some complaints from listeners saying, I'm trying to call, but I can't get through. And so we asked Pete, are you answering the phones back there? This set Pete off. And then Pete said, fine. You want calls? Fine. And ultimately, as usual, Pete the Body was right. He got his final and last laugh. Here it is, the first of the first four out. I'm like, what do you want me to tell you? I don't know. They might be calling. They might not. Pete might pick up the phone. He might not. I'm not doing this again.
Yeah. No, and I think, honestly, what I figured out is Pete just doesn't see the phones ringing because it's pitch black in there.
Well, you have a call now if you want it.
Oh, we have a call?
Sure.
Okay, who's on hold? This is like mystery package.
He wants to talk about Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, were you going to tell me this, or was I just going to have to go on a Pete doesn't answer the phone calls rant before I get one?
No, I'm going to tell you on the
Okay,
You got a full bank of calls. You can't, you can't know it, but we got a full bank of calls.
Well, DA, if you would have said something, I would have told you. Why didn't you say you wanted phone calls?
Are you going to take the call?
Yes.
Happy birthday, Pete, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Who is it? This is exciting.
This is Lance, New Mexico.
With Coach Bob Davey, and then Holly Holm, I'm the only one that predicted it in town, kicked Ronda Rousey's face in. And nobody else said, they're just so weak here. And I was the one that said, she's going to beat her. But every morning you make me laugh, and I thought I'd try to return the favor. God bless.
Okay, appreciate that, Lance. Thank you, sir.
Good there job go. Screening, Pete.
Okay. And this is, we don't take the call.
This is all types of perfect. This is exactly why Pete doesn't answer the phones. He's like, you see, DA, you want that? Is that what you want? He wants to talk about Patrick Mahomes. This dude just randomly yells about Ronda Rousey, then hangs up the phone. Great AFC championship game.
Let's get DJ Tommy Q on the phone.
Oh, we're in the ring where Sean coughs something up. Stand by.
Just that Pete said you want it, you got it. The guy rambles about Ronda
Rousey. Have a good day.
Oh my God, that was so great. That's from January the 20th.
And it was Pete's birthday.
Oh my God, it was just... What, you got one? Why don't you take it, DA? Okay, what is it? Lance wants to talk about Patrick Mahomes. It's the single worst call ever. And Pete's just sitting there like, you see, I was right all along, you buffoons.
Bunch of guys in their pajamas at home trying to tell me how to answer the phones.
And Pete had it up to here with us at that point in time because we had all been home since the previous March, except for Pete, right? This was almost like 10 months by stewarding the ship himself back at the studios. And he's like, all right, fine. You guys think you're smarter than me? Fine. And that it was just perfect, like the single worst phone call ever.
And that was the best one of the bunch.
DA from Twitch, we had Glorious Splash. I'm sorry, Otis Miller twitched in. This is an all-time great rant. I'm disgusted that this missed the cut. And Kaplan chimed in. Anyone that didn't have this in their top 12 should have their voting rights revoked.
Wow, Cap? Cap came in that hot on this?
Cap came in that hot, and I will tell you, Cap did not have this inside his 12, so maybe he should have his voting rights revoked as I look at everybody's phone.
Wait a second. Cap said if you didn't have this inside your top 12, your vote should be revoked, and he didn't actually have it in his top 12?
Not according to my sheet here. In fact, only two of us on the show had this inside the top 12. DA, you had this inside your top 5, which is how it made the first four out, or it might have been gone altogether.
Uh-huh. Man, I heard this. I listened to this again 2 weeks ago when we did the voting, and I was just cracking up because it's Pete's ultimate vindication. It's like, you guys always think you can do my job better than I can, and then he finally says, fine, we'll do it your way. And it completely implodes in our face.
Ding, ding, ding. What do we have for him, Johnny?
It was perfect. Wow. So, yeah, I had this really, really high. I had it in the top 5, and it didn't even make the 12, but we got it into the first four out, and it's kind of perfect that it leads things off for the countdown. That was great. By the way, all 12 DAs are going to be available in their own podcast form, right? So you can actually go to our podcast feed
yes.
on any of your favorite podcast platforms, and you'll see each day the 12DA itself to listen to.
Yeah, if you listen to the Best of the DA Show or any of our 4 hours on that same feed every single day, isolated on its own, will be the 12 DAs of Christmas.
Perfect. We're off and running. This is so good. Standing by, headlines. The kind sir, who, by the way, just so happened, called a Fordham basketball game last night, which is not that rare, but was on SNY in New York. That's right. Millions of people watched Fordham hoops last night with the one and only kind sir. Kind sir, how was the call?
The call was good. I feel like we should straighten that out, though. Millions of people could have watched Fordham basketball last night in New York. I'm not sure that many actually did. But it was a thing. It's the first of 8 Fordham games. It'll be on SNY, and I'm assuming I'll be around for most of those.
Wow.
So it's a good little bump up for us this winter.
That's awesome. So who did they play last night? BU?
They played St. Francis Brooklyn last night.
Saint
the
Francis
Terriers.
Brooklyn. Okay. I got the wrong Terriers there.
SFB.
So I think SNY must be carried in every New York household and then every New York regional household. So that's like 25 million homes, then probably get to some other cable packages as well across the country. So you were hypothetically in like maybe 30 million homes last night. Now, doesn't mean they were actually tuned into St. Francis of Brooklyn basketball.
Yeah, I think 22 mil is probably a good number. Those are the early Nielsen returns. 22 mil we're watching. It was almost like an AFC title game.
Those 30 million passed by the channel.
That's right, yes. 30 million people had it on their guide and then went to the next channel, but still, it's amazing.
Oh, Rangers Flyers on MSG. That sounds better.
Oh, paid programming.
right. The bar tones. Okay, so how did the game actually go?
The game was a little ugly and a little boring for about 30 minutes, and then Fordham had one good stretch of some threes and some dunks for some good TV, and they won by 20.
Okay, excellent. How about that? Kind sir is going to get into some major households this winter, which is awesome.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
And the DA Show is available every single day on your phone. Use the CBS Sports app or the Odyssey app or watch us at watchda.com or listen to us on your phone via podcast. We begin with Andrew Berry, the Browns GM. Does Baker Mayfield have some pressure on him going into the end of the season since the Browns have to make a decision on giving him big money?
I don't know it's so much about, showing me anything. Like, really, our focus is on, winning games and playing at a high enough level that, allows us to, be in a strong spot in December. That's really where the focus is. I think Baker showed a lot over the past, three plus seasons. So I don't, I don't necessarily subscribe to this notion that there's some, something in these next 5 games that's of particular focus, so to speak.
That's the right thing to say for Berry, but I don't believe it because Baker's been so up and down in his career. And beginning of last year, not so great. Second half of last year was excellent. This year has been pretty rough most of the season. And you wonder if you're the Cleveland Browns, if you can stake your claim to Baker Mayfield on big money and expect different from this year. Now, clearly he's not 100%, and I talked about that with Matthew Stafford. I don't want to use that as an excuse, but look, it's a reason why neither one of these guys are as effective as they normally are. I do think that Baker Mayfield is physically limited. Stafford has that cannon arm. Stafford has amazing physical attributes. Baker Mayfield's undersized. Baker Mayfield doesn't have a great arm. Baker does not have a howitzer attached to his shoulder like Justin Herbert. But Baker is dinged. He's got to play better, though, than this for them to feel confident giving him money. The issue, as always, will be you can give him the money just so that you don't have to find another QB. It's like, what's worse, the devil that you know or the devil that you don't? What's scarier, giving money to Baker Mayfield or the unknown at quarterback? And my guess is for the Browns, it's the unknown at quarterback. Took them 20 years to find a Baker Mayfield. They don't want to try to do that again. Here is DeMarcus Cousins. Obviously, the last couple of seasons of his career have been marred by injury. He has signed with the Milwaukee Bucks. Here's his reason.
I'm at peace, man. I've grown a lot through these tough times, and things haven't gone in my favor in these last couple of years. So I'm just grateful for the opportunity. Kind of an uproar in my household. You know, we were getting ready for the holidays. We had family coming in town, so just trying to make moves on the fly and get everything adjusted. And everything worked out perfectly. And I'm extremely grateful and excited to be here.
Obviously, his career is never going to be what it should have been because of these injuries. But the last couple of years, DeMarcus Cousins has tried to attach himself to winners. Because at this point in time, you're not going to be your star. You're not going to be your former NBA All-Star self. You're not going to the Hall of Fame. Now it's just about trying to be around to winning culture and having fun that way. So it was the Warriors. Then it was the Rockets when they felt like they were a contender. Then it was the Clippers last year. And now it's the Bucks. And so I like DeMarcus Cousins. I root for DeMarcus Cousins. I hate to see anybody's career ravaged by injury the way that his has been. When he started his career with the Kings, he was a force. He's no longer a force, but you can hear that resignation in his voice. Man, I'm at peace with what happened in my career. And I think for him now, it's just about being around circumstances and situations that make him happy. And I cannot blame him at all for that. And finally, here is new Mets GM Billy Epler, who joined WFAN in New York and admitted he has checked out the Vegas win total odds. Here's Epler.
For all our decisions around maximizing cumulative expected World Series odds, right, over this long-term time horizon. Right. Right. So you'd love to be able to sit here. Like, if we sit here today, I don't know. Like, I do like to look at the Vegas odds because, you know, Vegas has a lot to lose, right? If they're wrong in their odds, there's money at stake, right? So I like to look at those odds, and I'd like to forecast a 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-year period where we can be at the upper end of those odds. And if we can do that over a 6 or 7 year period, odds are, that's not a guarantee,
right,
but odds are we might end up
eventually a win. More.
Okay. Mraz, what do you think? An MLB GM admitting he takes stock in the Vegas win totals because there's money at stake for Vegas.
Well, my initial reaction is 5 years ago, spot where if you asked any player, coach, GM, anything involving gambling and Vegas odds, oh, we don't pay attention to that stuff. We have to worry about what's on the field. And for a general manager to say that's what he's taking a peek at, how could I get here? How could we increase our odd total here? My gut reaction is that seems stupid, but the more I think about it, he is right. Vegas is putting odds where they're putting them because they're trying to, you know, keep those big buildings built.
So that's true in some ways. It's true in some ways. I mean, Vegas does do a ton of research in general. They have a ton of inside intel. Vegas, that old hashtag Vegas knows, because they know a hell of a lot. But lines and win totals are oftentimes also based on perception. They are trying to make money, and that's not always complete reality. So I think it's a little weird for a GM, and now he's my GM. It's kind of a little weird that you would be looking at Vegas and saying, okay, well, that's how good we are. Well, you should know better than Vegas about building a winner because you're not trying to do it based on perception. You're trying to do it based on what you know to be a winning formula in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and by the way, the win totals can fluctuate and go up and down based on, like, as you're pointing out, perception, right? If you're just not a popular franchise, right? The Mets don't have a lot of national fans all over the place, so that might mean less people betting on their over, and thus their over win total rising into that upper echelon as well.
Because if you're the GM of the Yankees, or whether you're the GM of the Mets or the Yankees or whatever, the Yankees win total is going to be buffered by the popularity of the Yankees. or the Dodgers. Meantime, the Mariners or the Rays are going to be depressed. So you also can't be like, oh man, if you're the GM of the Yankees, wow, I guess we're really good this year because look at what Vegas says our win total is.
Yeah, or same thing with the Cowboys tonight. Cowboys are 4.5-point favorites. You know, under normal circumstances, maybe that's 4 or 3.5-point favorites, but you know there's a lot of Cowboy fans, and a lot of Cowboy fans put money. And when it ends up being millions of those people or thousands of those people, that sways numbers.
That is your sound check this morning. Russell tweets, hey, DA, can we get a 12 DAs of Christmas segment of the 7, 8, 9 o'clock hours? Fear not. The way that we always play this is we play the 12 DAs twice. Once, usually in the first hour, sometimes the second, and then we always play it in the third or fourth hour again. So that's what we'll do today. We'll do the 12 DAs of Christmas coming up again, a replay of today's first of the first four out, coming your way in hour number four this morning. Joe tweets, did Aikman also forget about the Niners team that kicked his butt in 94? They brought in Dion, Richard Dent, and Ricky Jackson. That's a good point as well.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Standing by with a headline this morning is a kind sir, Mr. Andrew Bogish. A-B, what up?
DA, hello again. MLB players officially locked out after the current CBA expired last night. This ends roughly 26 years of labor peace for baseball. The good news is the last three lockouts did not lead to missed regular season games. To avoid that this time, the league and union will need an agreement by early March. Trades and signings not allowed during the lockout. The Cubs beat the buzzer with a three-year, $71 million deal from Mets righty Marcus Stroman, and the Dodgers kept the super useful Chris Taylor with $60 million over 4 years. Notre Dame apparently keeping Brian Kelly assistants Marcus Freeman and Tommy Rees. Freeman may get the promotion from defensive coordinator to head coach, while Rees remains the offensive coordinator. And we still don't have CFP expansion. College football commissioners met again yesterday in Dallas, but could not reach an agreement. There was enough optimism going into the day that there was a press conference set up, but wasn't needed in the end. They will talk again in January, which is the deadline for getting expansion for the 2024 season. College poops, the struggles continue for Michigan.
Baker attacking against Dickinson. Double team comes, has to send it out to Love. Another long triple. Holy smokes! 20 for Love.
That's Jones Angel from Learfield. Caleb Love, 22, as UNC dropped number 24 Michigan, 72-51. The Wolverines have now dropped 3 of 5. Number 14 Florida took a 74-67 loss at Oklahoma. And Georgia took down number 18 Memphis, 82-79. The Tigers with back-to-back L's. The Clippers have dropped 3 in a row, 6 of 8, after falling at home to the Kings, 124-115. The Magic surprised the Nuggets, 108-103, ending a 7-game losing streak. And the Celtics fought off the Sixers, 88-87. Boston head coach Ime Udoka.
Not really going to apologize for an ugly win. It happens. Offense wasn't clicking at all times, but guys got it going late. As we've said all year, we're going to rely on our defense. And to hold a team to 87, you'd like to score more than 88, obviously. But we did what we were supposed to.
Jason Tatum scored 11 of his 26 points in the fourth to make that defense stand up. Heat center Bam Adebayo needs surgery for a torn UCL in his right thumb. He's expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks. DA mentioned the Bucks last segment. They haven't had Antonio Brown since week 6 because of an ankle injury. He's reportedly out another 2 weeks at least. It'll be Taysom Hill under center when the Saints host the Cowboys tonight. New Orleans on its first four-game skid since 2015, while Dallas has dropped 3 of 4. Their NFC East lead on Washington down to 2 games. And we finish on ice. The Oilers took care of the Penguins 5-2. Connor McDavid a goal and 3 assists. Rosie, back to you.
Bogues is such a professional. Look at that. You would never know, because Bogues does not get thrown off his mark, that Rosie the Cat just walked all over me during that update, walked right up to the camera, smelled the microphone, walked behind the microphone, is now behind the camera as well. I guess trying to play the Wizard of Watch DA from Warwick.
She stood up in front of the mic like she was going to talk.
She had to take an Aikman. Don't forget about the Jaguars. We love cats. Panthers and Jaguar Super Bowl 2022.
Boy, Rosie really loved expansion in the 90s. Huh?
Yeah, she loved the 95 expansion. Thought it was a great idea. Pause up.
Maybe I can get her out of the room by playing a dog barking.
If Rosie calls, would you pick up, Pete?
Maybe.
She's got good takes.
Vigorous screening process she has to get by, though.
Oh, wait a second. Shep's almost here for his shift.
Sundays.
Can hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. Today's is a very special day because we're debuting the 12 DAs of Christmas with the first of the first four out. And just to give you some perspective on just how special it is, Mraz is playing hurt today. Mraz came down with the sniffles yesterday, and this was caught on camera by Cap. And supposedly this led to a discussion after the show like, hey, are you healthy enough to be around? Now, you'll see right now on camera at watchda.com, Mraz wipe his nose with that little snotty tissue there. Now, Mraz, you got to walk me through this conversation yesterday. Were you unaware of how much you had a runny nose?
Well, as I lose my voice a little bit, I woke up yesterday, as we do in the middle of the night, to come to work, and I wasn't feeling great. And I know that's very alarming to say in this day and age, coming, you know, off a pandemic, continuing a pandemic. But sometimes, look, you wake up in the middle of the night, you're just tired, you're just out of it, right? Like, you know, it takes an hour, 2 hours to get you charged up. All right, I just didn't sleep well. As the show progressed, my nose became more runny and runny. I had a roll of paper towels next to me. It seemed very grossed out by the situation next to me. But I was fine. I got powered through. I had enough energy, whatnot. And Twitch could clearly see me because Cap wouldn't take the damn camera off me every time I was wiping my nose.
So we had snot cam.
Basically, you know, I wouldn't realize I was on camera during a certain take. And, you know, I wasn't blowing or anything because my microphone's not on in the studio. And, you know, Cap, ooh, do we need Mraz doing that? You know, commenting on Twitch and Twitch going, it's okay, Mraz, you're allowed to wipe your nose, this, that, and the other
thing. Wait, so Cap was stoking the fire on Twitch?
Yeah, like he was purposely bringing it up on Twitch to like acknowledge, hey, does everybody see Mraz keeps blowing his nose and wiping his nose? And, you know, you can hear me, I'm still congested, whatever. So, I felt tired. I sat in traffic on the ride home yesterday. For once in my life, working hard. This is one of my hardest working times with the 12 DAs, doing a lot of editing, juggling back and forth. I just was out of it. I laid down. I woke up yesterday, and a nap did me no good. I felt like complete garbage. And then I'm in panic mode, as we all are now, because you got to go to an urgent care or whatever and go, telling me I went in and infected a workplace. Hopefully this is no COVID, no nothing like that. And it's not. I have some kind of viral cold, flu-y, whatever. So now I could have done one of two things. I texted the boss, could I use a sick day? Sure. But I would rather not use a sick day because the 12 DAs mean so much, and I want to be here to react to them, and I don't want to miss it. And thankfully, I'm able to work from home and carry on.
So it's an admirable effort. You wanted to be part of the 12 DAs of Christmas. We appreciate that. However, yesterday, basically Cap had to shame you on Watch DA into admitting that you were sick?
Basically, yeah. What does that mean? Like, you're not wiping anything. He just kept, you know, look at Mraz blowing his nose. And I did it again. He's blowing his nose again, you know. And, you know, the listeners, to their credit, of the Twitch viewers, were pretty sympathetic to it. Oh, don't worry about it, Mraz. But Cap, you could take the camera off me on certain takes if you see me going to the paper towel or the tissue. But he wants everything captured. He doesn't get enough of me eating in breaks now. Now he needs me just honking my nose every which way.
Had Cap not shamed you into knowing that you were sick, would you have come to work today without getting tested?
I don't know that I would have gotten tested. Knowing the way I woke up.
So Cap saved the office?
He might have. He might have. Because I am vaccinated and everything like that. But I did wake up feeling worse. And that would have happened with or without Kaplan doing that, but I'm kind of in the mode right now. I'm trying not to scream this too loud, but I got two young kids at home. I'm really not looking to be home anymore. This is going to work is my only nights out these days. Uh-huh. So yeah, but look, I shouldn't get anybody sick, so I shouldn't be there. I should do the right thing, but I do want the ability to work because I don't want to miss this time of year. Like, the 12 days are special, man. I don't want to miss them.
So had Cap not shamed you using the using the Twitch audience, you may have come back to the office today and created an outbreak of some type of viral flu around the office.
Maybe I would have.
28 days at CBS Sports Radio because we were saved by the superhero Cap.
You're probably right because I weigh a lot of things, DA, and obviously, like, today was a day you do once a week from home. I also didn't want to have the perception, like, DA's from home, so Mraz is just trying to be from home. So, like, I wouldn't have tried to do that either, but Cap really made everybody on notice that I was not feeling good. So, yes, he really did sway it.
Wow.
Put it in the back of my head that if other people got sick, I was not going to be able to hide that I was sick, like one of those things. Because Cap, if Cap got sick or Bogus got sick,
yeah,
he could go back the way he does with all these magical clips and go to the videotape. Mraz, you notice everybody got sick? Why were you blowing your nose on this day?
So now we're paranoid because Cap has all of the evidence of always getting exposed. That's
right.
That's our lives now.
Yes, exactly. It's, you know, I just watched the show You on Netflix, and, like, there's this whole thing about, like, all the cameras in town and everything, but he's watching everybody's move. I come on this show, and every one of our moves is watched by Cap. It feels like he's got I might have cameras hidden here that's not directly on me right now. So I can't get away with anything anymore. You know, they always say, you know, the big man's watching, Santa Claus is watching this time of year. Well, Cap is always watching now.
Yeah. Basically, you're like Walter White cooking up meth, and Gus is watching you with all of those cameras all around the mixing lab.
Look at you with a Breaking Bad relevant reference. Like, how about that? Yes, that's exactly the way it is. So Cap pointed it out. I felt worse. I knew there was no getting away with hiding. You're going to hear the way I sounded. My nose was still going to be running. And if anybody else got sick, Cap would pull those clips forever, and I would be destroyed for it. And probably we're at a point in time now where it's probably a good thing around offices where management would get involved and be like, why are you coming to work sick, like, during a pandemic? So I was fearful for my job, too. I don't want any of this happening.
Pete, are you annoyed that Mraz came to work with a runny nose and worked next to you all day yesterday?
Oh, I don't know anymore. Really, I don't know. 18 months of this, I really don't know. It's fine. I'm glad he's home, recover. Done for the day.
You feel good, though. You feel okay.
Oh, I feel peachy.
So there is a part of you that is annoyed that Mraz came to work with a runny nose yesterday and sat in the same little booth with you for 4 hours.
Well, of course, when anyone is sick, I don't want them near me. I mean, yeah. I don't want to get sick. I mean, the weekend's coming up. I got a kid, too.
That's right.
Right. He's right. I mean, this should be a public service announcement to everybody.
That's
don't
right.
be afraid to stay home at any job you're at. There are other illnesses besides COVID, and nobody around the holidays needs to be getting sick right now.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly right.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. We count down the 12 DAs of Christmas. Here's a moment that got stuck in the chimney.
I found it crazy to me that not one, but two colleges in this tournament were named after toothpaste companies, Oral Roberts and Colgate. Isn't that fascinating? That's funny, right? Which I guess now this is where I'm wrong. I should have kept my mouth shut.
What toothpaste company is named Oral Roberts?
Or toothbrushes. There's definitely Oral Roberts ones.
No, Oral B.
Ah, yes. Two toothpaste companies in the NCAA tournament, Colgate and Oral Roberts. That's a stuck-in-the-chimney moment from the year that was. Sunday, an NFL on CBS doubleheader with early action featuring Justin Herbert leading the Chargers against the Bengals. The Eagles are on the road against the Jets. Then, one of the hardest-hitting rivalries in football renewed, Ravens head to Pittsburgh to meet the Steelers. Beginning at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, with the NFL Today. The NFL doubleheader action is this Sunday on CBS. CBS Spectacular, yeah! About an hour from now, we'll bring you your 12 DAs of Christmas. A reminder for those of you that love the DA Show gifts these days, we got them. DA Show gifts for your tweeting pleasure. Go into the GIF search box and put in hashtag DA Show, like Da Show. Hashtag DA Show, and that'll bring up all of the DA gifts that you can use from the show. Also, on assorted phones, you could also use those to text your friends and just overall laugh at our stupidity. Today's poll question is, after the story about Brian Kelly when he was at CMU making Robert Saleh and Matt LaFleur shovel cars out of the parking lot, would you ever make your intern shovel your car out? Vote in the web poll today at CBS Sports Radio on Twitter. One follower responded to that. His name is Retweet Everything and asks, how do I get Sean Morash to stop retweeting these dumb takes and questions on my Twitter feed without unfollowing him? He wants you to stop retweeting your dumb takes and questions, but I guess he doesn't follow you. So how's he getting them?
Well, no, that's what I don't understand. I took that as he does follow me, but doesn't want to unfollow me, but wants to tell me what I should tweet and what I shouldn't retweet.
Oh, so he does follow you and doesn't want to have to unfollow you, but doesn't want you to retweet your own takes.
Or retweet dumb takes. I personally, in the world of Twitter, have never been more confused by a response at me in my life. So you like me but don't like me, then hate me but don't hate me, and call me more ass too. I mean, that is a very puzzling response to me.
Now, Kaplan asks a question. Are you blaming the hard work of the 12 DAs for getting sick?
I think he is.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I shouldn't have even said that. The point was, I don't even know what the point was anymore. The point was, I was, you know, I my mind was occupied. I'm busting my hump. I feel like I've been working hard. The 12 DAs were my baby, and that was the setup for me to explain why I wanted to be here with the 12 DAs. But I guess, much like Mike Golic, it can be interpreted that I was saying that because I worked too hard on the 12 DAs, I got sick, which is not what I meant.
The point was he had a cold and wanted to stay home.
Okay. That's fair. Brent Musburger is the voice of the Raiders. This is where that awkward, we need that awkward with bacon transition to like the PTI bell. We just have an air horn. Next topic. Brent Musburger, voice of the Raiders, told JT the Brick on the Las Vegas Sports Network that he thinks that John Gruden was taken out by a, quote, paid assassin. Now, Gruden has a lawsuit against the NFL for the leaking of those emails that obviously got him fired from the Raiders. Musburger says, I told Coach, whoever took you out, John, that was a paid assassin. That was one of the best hit jobs I've ever been around. They didn't go to their media goombas. They didn't leak this to Adam Schefter or one of those guys that break stories. they first went to the Wall Street Journal, and when Gruden was still coaching after that, they dumped the rest of it on the New York Times. That was a professional hit job. Musburger's been out in Vegas too long, okay? They're media goombas. Hey, over here. Like Musburger was in Casino. I know how this desert place was built, okay? He says there was a second lawsuit involved between Dan Snyder and a former GM, and that means a lot of outside people had access to those emails. So I think the hardest part for Gruden's lawyer to prove is that somebody from the NFL actually leaked that, because if it is somebody from the NFL, shame on them. Mark Davis should have been told in the summer when he had something to do about it. End of quote from Brent Musburger. I don't know how Gruden's going to prove this. How could you possibly prove it was the NFL purposefully who leaked these emails to the Times and Wall Street Journal to smear him? How could you possibly? What are they going to dig up? A text message, an email from Roger Goodell saying, order the code red? It's not going to happen. So I think this lawsuit is destined to go nowhere, because these papers, these emails, were seen by a handful of people. It may not have been the NFL. I think that whoever did it, it's going to be really hard to prove. And I don't know if it was a paid assassin. I mean, Musburger tends to like hyperbole. But pretty obviously, it was somebody that didn't like Gruden and wanted to show him, wanted him to get his comeuppance. I think once again, the bigger issue is, and I said this right after this leaked, there was this instant reaction by some corners of the media landscape to say, oh, tip of the iceberg. All those Washington emails are going to come out. You wait and see. We're going to get more. I said, no, there won't. Because the NFL is gladly covering up as much as humanly possible. They don't want the ugliness of one of their owners, of one of their franchises, being put out on Broad Street. They tried to deal with this by only fining the Raiders $10 million and removing Snyder from day-to-day operations without giving anybody any public meat, throwing it to the Lions. So that's why I don't think this was an NFL hit job. The NFL had those emails for months. They knew what John Gruden said. They had all of those. They could have, if they wanted to hit Gruden, they could have hit him back in July when they hit Washington. They didn't need to wait until mid-season to hit Gruden. So that's why I don't think you're going to be able to get anything on Goodell or the league office, because they could have done this whenever. It was somebody who got their hands on these emails and then leaked them. And there was a packet of these emails that got sent to the Raiders mid-season. It could be there was somebody in that front office that didn't like Gruden and said, oh, now we got him. Somebody in that organization or around that organization was like, hey, we got something on Gruden. It doesn't have to be the league office didn't like John Gruden. So it's going to be impossible to prove, I think. And I think it's unlikely it was the league. What is obvious is that the NFL is going to stonewall anything about one of its parties. And it was, that was never going to be like the drip from a fire hose that suddenly blasted all these ugly emails and information leaks. It's no way. They got all of that locked up forever and will pay millions of dollars for it not to be ever public. Hundreds of millions. Did you see this number? The league, after being sued by St. Louis after the relocation of the Rams, just agreed last week to pay $832 million to the city of St. Louis, basically not to have to open up their books. St. Louis had a good case. St. Louis said that we were duped, we were fed misinformation, they had a plan all along to move the Rams, they lied to us, and basically the Rams did do that, and St. Louis was right. But instead of getting a guilty verdict, the NFL settled for $832 million to the city just so that they don't have to open up their own books. Imagine making so much money that you would rather pay $800 million than let the public know how much more you make. And you think emails are going to just willy-nilly leak out because the NFL is not good at its job? That's crazy. They'll pay $800 million just to make emails go away. Standing by with our headline this morning, Mr. Andrew Bogish. Bogues, where do we begin?
We begin with baseball and the lockout. If you go to MLB.com or a team website right now, player pages no longer include a picture of the players. Most of the video content on these sites now is about past seasons and players. This is some of the fallout from owners locking out players overnight after the CBA expired. Owners say a lockout necessary to add urgency to their negotiations. Now, no trades or signings can happen, so yesterday's batch the last for a while. That included the Cubs adding Mets righty Marcus Stroman, 3 years and $71 million. The Dodgers kept Chris Taylor, 4 years and $60 million, and the Red Sox sent outfielder Hunter Renfro to Milwaukee for old friend Jackie Bradley Jr. Fruitless talks as well yesterday about CFP expansion. Conference commissioners will meet again in January and maybe then take us to a 12-team format. Notre Dame reportedly on the verge of promoting defensive coordinator Marcus Freeman to replace Brian Kelly. OC Tommy Reese remaining in that job, and Oregon OC Joe Moorhead reportedly the next head coach at Akron. Thursday night football is Saints Cowboys from New Orleans. They have a combined one win over their last eight games. The Saints yet to win since Jameis Winston's knee injury, so Taysom Hill should start at QB tonight. We also have the Seahawks signing Adrian Peterson to their practice squad. The Cleveland Cavaliers hadn't won in Miami since January of 2010.
Left corner, Love, three up and good. Kevin Love remains on fire. He matches his season high. He's got a 22-point ball game, and it's 90-63.
That's Tim Alcorn on Cavs Radio. Love, 23 in a 111-85 rout, ending Cleveland's 20-game drought in South Beach. Miami also losing center Bam Adebayo for 4 to 6 weeks to right thumb surgery. Giannis scored with 2 seconds left to get his Bucks past the Hornets, 127-125. Trae Young hit the clinching free throws with 1.2 seconds to go as the Hawks won in Indiana, 114-111. The Mavs steamrolled the Pelicans, 139-107. And the Rockets on a 4-game win streak after winning in OKC, 114-110. College Hoops, the Pac-12 sneaking in some conference action here in December. Number 5 UCLA downed Colorado, 73-61, and number 20 USC hammered Utah 93-73. The Trojans 7-0. Not even the other Trojans are undefeated. And on ice, the Ducks outscored the Kings 6-5. The Rangers beat the Flyers 4-1 for a 4-game win streak. And now, it's done.
Doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
And this one's courtesy, again, of our good buddy Stephen Murray. This stunned near and dear to our hearts on multiple fronts. Now, we have many times on this show broken down the majesty of ranch dressing. I believe, and Sean, if you're healthy enough, correct me, I think 2014 was the year of ranch dressing?
No, earlier than that. 2007, the year of the ranch.
Wow, way off. Either way, ranch dressing, yeah, there we go, exactly. We also on the show like to taste test things. Many of them are horrible, probably like this. Hidden Valley Ranch's eggnog. Ranch dressing eggnog from Hidden Valley. Now, for $50, and I guess they do seasonal ranch dressing or other Hidden Valley products often, and now here's their holiday season one. For $50, you get 2 fancy eggnog glasses, 2 packets of ranch dressing seasoning, and the horrible recipe for this horrible drink. Hidden Valley says this is a marriage of, quote, the creamy, slightly sweet elements of eggnog and the savory, cool, and herby flavors of ranch. No, thank you.
They are calling it Ranch Nog. Oh. Just calling it that sounds absolutely heinous. Why would you mix two different kinds of dairy together? That just feels like a loser right off the top in terms of chemistry.
It's gross, yeah, because that's going to be a thick... Ranch gets very thick, so to mix that with the eggnog... Oh, man. And by the way, you need a lot more alcohol in that eggnog to burn it out and make it feel like it should go down. But it's just... People need to stop doing this to things. Like, things that are, like, classically good, you don't have to go the outrageous... Ooh, let's do something crazy to it. Let you know, Arby's vodka, and now, you know, freaking Hidden Valley Ranch eggnog. Enough's enough.
Mm. Hidden Valley Ranch also has a yoga lover's kit. That's a blue and green tie-dyed yoga mat towel. They also have Hidden Valley Ranch scrunchies and a 12-ounce bottle of Hidden Valley Ranch Powered Ranch. The kit, with a price tag of $75, is also sold out. They also have a Hidden Valley Ranch Pizza Lovers kit, price tag of $110. Comes with a water bottle, stickers, Toppling Tower game, Fred and Friends Pizza Boss 3000, a pizza blanket, and salad dressing. What you don't get is actual pizza. So I guess this is an accompaniment to your pizza night for $110.
And if I'm reading this correctly, you've got to supply your own eggnog here. The $50 gets you two glasses and seasoning and the recipe, not even eggnog.
What a racket. What? Boy, people will buy anything. We are just, woof. Now, let me ask you, Mraz, do you like eggnog?
I did not for the longest time, D.A., and I think we referenced this on the show, how your taste buds change every seven years. Eggnog has been one of those things that I've periodically tried over time and just didn't do it for me. And 2 years ago, I would say, or 3 years ago, a light bulb went off where suddenly I like it, and I never liked it before. This is a shining example of your taste buds changing. I like it, but again, it's one of those things, I'm not going to pound four glasses in one night. You know, Christmas Eve, a little shot of Tito's vodka in it, fine, I'm good to go. But ultimately, I'd rather have some Bailey's or some Irish cream over an eggnog anyway.
It's a little too thick for me. It's a little too thick. I don't know. I need something that pours a little bit quicker than that. It's just real thick.
Yeah, and again, drinking dessert always feels weird.
Yeah. Bogues, how do you feel about eggnog?
I'm with you. The texture, the density of it, it's all way off. There's so many better things to drink.
I do think there's an interesting thing with eggnog where I think the name turns people off. I think if it was called something better than eggnog, which together is not a good combo word nor two words. You know, I don't know what the proper name would be to change eggnog, but I feel like eggnog is just a very dissatisfying, disgusting word to say, so it triggers in your mind that you're not going to like it because it's called eggnog. Right.
How about holiday juice?
Is nog
juice?
Dairy, too? I don't know what nog is. Is that dairy?
Hey, holiday juice? I think you're more prone to give holiday juice a fair market share than you would eggnog. You know, because it makes you feel like you're drinking raw eggs. You're really not. But eggnog's a bad name. It's one of the worst names for anything to eat or digest.
Nog does not sound appetizing. Anything with nog in it.
No. Gross.
So what makes 07 the year of the ranch?
Well, D.A., what happened there was ranch, and I say this seriously, was really not thought of as anything more than a salad dressing until, you know, Outback Steakhouse really, really pushed ranch as a cheese fry dip at that time. And Outback Steakhouses were booming all over the country. You had, obviously, the zesty sauce that went with the Bloomin' Onion, and the cheese fries really caught fire. They've done a bad job at keeping up, obviously, with the surplus of it and lowering portions. But that opened people's minds to ranch. And suddenly you saw ranch appearing on sandwiches. Subway restaurants started to use ranch as more than a salad dressing. You could get it on sandwiches as well. It started to be paired with chicken cutlets. And next thing you knew, fast food restaurants all over the country, where ranch was only for their side salads, a Wendy's started packaging ranch to make it dippable for their chicken nuggets and their french fries. And it was more than just the packets. Now you had dip cups of it. And really, starting in about 07 with Outback Steakhouse's cheese fries, ranch dressing just exploded. And I think people have gone too far on it now.
How do you know?
Real quick, Sean, what's 5 times 9?
45.
Oh, okay, good.
All right.
How would you know that specifically was 07? What time stamp do you have in your mind that was 2007?
Well, DA, at that time, I was in my second year of community college, and I know from going to the cafeteria that there became a big surge in the difference of the Ken's packet of ranches to suddenly they were making dipping cups, and Outback had changed their dip sauce. It was usually just like a cheese sauce or a ketchup or whatever, and they've gone, you know, they sort of put that cup in the middle, and it really, like, people started to talk about it. Anywhere you go, did you have that sauce at Outback?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm telling you,
somebody
made millions on switching ranch into dipping cups everywhere. And all of a sudden, Wendy's was like, wait, I could do more than barbecue sauce and sweet and sour. I got ranch. It was crazy. It was a crazy time to be alive.
So it really was.
So your second year of college, freshman year for you?
Yeah, basically. And by the way, that's the only
thing. Well,
it was
the second year of his third stint in community college.
I couldn't tell you what I learned, what classes I took, but I could tell you that ranch change that happened in the CAF.
It's just also amazing that you run in circles where, quote, everybody would be talking about ranch. Never in my life was, quote, everybody talking about any condiment. I could never say at any point in my 42 years on Earth, quote, everybody was talking about ranch.
No, but it's true. Jessen's Deli up the block by the high school, the chicken cutlet bacon mozzarella ranch dressing, nobody had done that. That was called the aioli because Matt Aioli had come up with the sandwich. And it was like the hottest selling item that year. It was like a tickle me Elmo.
Let's just say that circle doesn't run.
It was a tickle me Elmo. There were lines out the door. Parents were killing each other to get the aioli sandwich.
Black Friday stampede to get a sando with ranch on it.
It was crazy. Crazy. Subway crazy. To tell you. It was nuts.
Crazy. When I tell America that there's no place on earth that could have created Mraz aside from West Babylon, it's because of this. At one point in time, a random deli shop put ranch on a sando, and it was like tickle me Elmo. People had spears to try to kill one another to try to get the sando.
I was working in the food industry at that time. I was behind a sandwich counter. I saw the evolution. I saw the change. This isn't funny stuff here. It wasn't like Subway and West Babylon suddenly got ranch. Every Subway started to get in the bottles.
No,
it was insane times.
We got this ranch. You want it?
No, it was a condiment cultural revolution. It was insane.
No, cultural in your head, revolution. You were just going ranch, 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 ranch. Doesn't mean everyone was talking about it. Just your brain was.
I'm telling you.
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
So we asked you guys today in the wake of that story that Robert Saleh and Matt LaFleur had to dig out cars out of the snow for Brian Kelly's dinner parties when they were GA's assistants under him at CMU. Would you ever make your intern dig out your car for you from snow? 75% of you said no. About 70% of employers offer full-time positions to their interns, so it's a good way to get your foot in the door. 7 out of 10 interns get offered a full-time job. 1 out of 10 internships happen in the year following graduation. 6 months into his WFAN tenure, Mraz was asked by the boss, Mark Chernoff, quote, how is the internship going? And that's your advanced analytics. So, Mraz, you were already on staff getting paid for 6 months, and that's when the boss said, how's the internship going?
Yeah, so technically I had been at WFAN for a year, my internship, then into actually being employed for 6 months. And I got asked, yeah, Sean, how's your internship going? In front of multiple paid employees that just burst out laughing in the newsroom.
This portion of the show is sponsored by Ferguson. Ferguson is proud to be part of what trade pros do. Their pro pickup service allows you to buy online and pick up in store, making business with Ferguson the easiest part of your hard day's work. Learn more at Ferguson.com. Tonight is Cowboys and Saints, and as I was saying at the end of last hour, if the Saints pull off the upset and win tonight behind Taysom Hill, number one, it'd be nice to see Taysom Hill actually win an important football game at quarterback since he's been bestowed so much money by Sean Payton. So this would be a good first step towards earning that paycheck that in a pinch, in a spot, they can count on you to be better than Trevor Siemian. But number two, I mean, this is for the playoffs. I don't know how many more games the Saints can honestly think they can lose without knowing they are effectively out of the postseason. So they are in desperation mode. If it leads to a win over the Cowboys, it certainly doesn't mean that the Cowboys season is over by any stretch of the imagination. They would still be 7-6 and atop the NFC East because everybody else in the division is sub-500. The issue would be, it would be a three-game losing streak for the Cowboys and losers of four of their last five. And there would be the outside shot they could still lose the division because they've got four more games against divisional opponents, two against Washington, one each against the Giants and the Eagles. So it would suddenly become a little dicey about winning the NFC East. But even then at 7-6, I still think the Cowboys will easily win the division. I think it then becomes in an NFC that is totally stacked, that has perhaps the three best teams in football in the Packers, Cardinals, and the Buccaneers, and a Rams team that should be able at some point to get its stuff going because it did at 7-1 earlier in the season, the Cowboys would feel like an easy mark in the NFC playoffs. I mean, let's face it. If you are the four seed this year as the division winner, you'd hypothetically get the number one wild card, which would be the Rams. So do you want that if you're the Cowboys? I think at this point, 7-5, the way that they're playing, certainly feels like the one seed has gone out the window. A loss tonight would absolutely, I think, slam the door on that window. But I think more than that, it's, are the Cowboys just going to make the playoffs again and be one and done or make the divisional round and lose? Or can they significantly make a run in January? And a game like tonight is really good teams that can go deep in January. You got to win this game. We'll talk all about it tomorrow morning right here aboard the mothership. Okay, what did we choose for today's epic fail? There were a number of candidates.
You guys killing me for the way I explain the cultural revolution around ranch dressing.
Ranch dressing, 2007. What a time to be alive. Here it is, your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Somebody made millions on switching ranch into dipping cups everywhere. And all of a sudden, Wendy's was like, wait, I could do more than barbecue sauce and sweet and sour. I got ranch. It was crazy. It was a crazy time to be alive.
So it really was.
So your second year of college, freshman year for you?
Basically. And by the way, that's the only
thing. Well, it was
the
second year of his third stint in community college.
I couldn't tell you what I learned, what classes I took, but I could tell you that ranch change that happened in the CAF.
Blue Jello! Blue Jello!
It's just also amazing that you run in circles where, quote, everybody would be talking about ranch. Never in my life was, quote, everybody talking about any condiment. I could never say at any point in my 42 years on Earth, quote, everybody was talking about ranch.
No, but it's true. Jessen's Deli up the block by the high school, the chicken cutlet bacon mozzarella ranch dressing, nobody had done that. That was called the aioli because Matt Aioli had come up with the sandwich. And it was like the hottest selling item that year.
But, I mean, I've had burgers that good. It's the bread.
It's like a tickle me elbow.
Let's just say that circle doesn't run.
It was a tickle me elbow. There were lines out the door. Parents were killing each other to get the aioli sandwich.
Black Friday stampede to get a sando with ranch on it.
It was crazy. Crazy. Subway, crazy. I tell you. It was nuts.
Crazy. When I tell America that there's no place on earth that could have created Mraz aside from West Babylon, it's because of this. At one point in time, a random deli shop put ranch on a sando, and it was like, tickle me Elmo.
The bread is just incredibly good.
People had spears to try to kill one another to try to get the sando.
I was working in the food industry at that time. I was behind a sandwich counter. I saw the evolution. I saw the change. This isn't funny stuff here. It wasn't like Subway and West Babylon suddenly got ranch. Every Subway started to get in the bottles.
No,
it was insane
the fact
time.
That
we got this ranch. You want it?
No, it was a condiment cultural revolution. It was insane.
I like mayonnaise.
No, in your head, you were just going ranch, 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 ranch. Doesn't mean everyone was talking about it, just your brain was.
I'm telling you.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Pete's got a great line in there. Here's some ranch, you want it? As he mimics the deli owner. Here's some ranch, you want it? Meantime, Mraz thinks it's a cultural revolution.
It was crazy.
Connor tweets, not Connor Green. Eggnog is one of the great wonders of the world. Have always loved it since I was a kid. Second, if you come to Wisconsin and put Tito's vodka in eggnog and not brandy or bourbon, we are throwing hands. So just remember that, Mraz. You're not going to be throwing Tito's vodka in eggnog if you do happen to go to Wisconsin.
I mean, I'll throw whatever I want to throw in there. The vodka's delicious in it.
No, but I think he's right. Brandy or bourbon feels like a much better solution than Tito's in eggnog.
Well, brandy's to warm you up. Not everybody likes brandy.
And no, I guess but it's covered up by the eggnog taste.
That's fine. I mean, to me, I'm a rum vodka person more than a brandy bourbon person.
Mac and Bear, who also has his Twitter handle say, unpipe it, says Mraz, are all of your dreams about food or just food smothered in ranch dressing?
I flipped, though. That's the other part of it. I think ranch has gone too crazy. It's a little overrated. I don't dream of it.
By the way, folks, didn't you happen to meet Mac and Bear at one of your games recently?
I did. We missed each other at the very first game. I was down in Newark, and then I saw him the Saturday before Thanksgiving, met him and his son before I went into the stadium, and it was awesome. He was way too excited to meet me. No one should be that excited to meet me, but he was, and it was much appreciated.
Mac and Bear is a religious D-alien. He's been with us for a long time, and he lives in Delaware, and so you were calling a Blue Hens game, right, and he wanted to meet you outside the stadium before you went in to call it.
Yes, and we met in a strangely smelling McDonald's parking lot right outside the athletic complex. I rolled out the red carpet for Mac and Bear. I think the fish fillets from the night before were rotting in the garbage near us as we embraced.
Look, if anything could perfectly personify this show, it's that when we finally meet the listeners, it's in a McDonald's parking lot that smells like old Filet-O-Fish. That these are that's our type of area. That's what represents us best.
Nothing says a moment.
Nothing says a moment, right.
Ho, ho, ho. Sports Giant.
Mac Bear likes that drop, so there is a drop for that.
Okay, so the 12 DAs of Christmas continue tomorrow with the second of the first four out. And so today and tomorrow have been first four out. Monday, Tuesday, first four out. Wednesday begins the countdown of the top 12 moments. Before we get there to next Wednesday, we're going to have an opportunity for you guys, listeners, hopefully, to be able to listen to all of the clips and rank them yourselves. And we will then have a fan vote as well factored into the equation. So stay tuned for that. We are working on that. The Wizard of Watch DA, hard at the algorithms on this. And eventually, when it's put together, we'll unveil it for you guys. So a chance to slide your own rankings and to make your own decisions based on the 12 DAs of Christmas. So that's going to be awesome. Tomorrow's a huge show, okay? We've got tons of football, the Wizard of Odds picks, the football food of the week. We've got the tasty top five of the championship game weekend. We got a ton to get to tomorrow. So fired up about that. Also on the Target Demo Friday. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Pete the Body Bilotti on the wheels of steel. We've also got, of course, Andrew Bogish on our headlines and the Wizard of Watch DA, Andrew Kaplan. Be good to one another. We will see you tomorrow. The Mothership Disconnect.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.